Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you here today in just this strange fashion of being just only over the internet. But we are blessed by the technology that we have that we are able to share and proclaim Christ to you even in this time. So if you will, and I'm asking this, but you don't have to, would you please stand with me as we read in God's Word? Our message today comes from Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14, reading in Jesus' name. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering, on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in this time where it feels like we are trapped in our own homes, Lord, we know that you are still our provision. Lord, as we hear this message today, open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Lord, make the words that come from my mouth be your words. Lord, hide me behind the cross so that we may see your son today, that we may see Jesus. If necessary, use the Holy Spirit to push me completely out of the way, Lord, for it is you we have come to hear. Lord, you have said where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. Lord, we may not be gathered physically, but we are gathered here today. We know that you are with us. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Years ago, when I lived in Colorado, I was asked to preach when the pastor was away. It was during Lent. And a week or two before I was supposed to preach, I had heard a sermon on Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. It's the story of Mary and Martha, and I really appreciated the message, so I wanted to share something similar with the church that I was serving in Colorado. So I had written what I thought was a pretty decent sermon on that very same passage of Scripture, on Luke 10 there. And now my habit is to practice my sermon the night before I preach. So this is where things got weird. Because see, that night, well, back then you have to understand, I didn't use a tablet like I do now. I used paper like Pastor Mike does when he preaches. And so I needed to print out my sermon to be able to read it. So when I went to print, suddenly my laptop didn't have the printer driver for the printer anymore. It's just very odd. And so I thought, well, no big deal. I'll just reinstall it. You know, I'll put it back in there and it'll run just fine. But that made my computer crash. I mean, literally, my computer gave me the blue screen of death, and I'm standing there going, now what do I do? Now, my brilliant wife, she grabs a flash drive, she throws it in my laptop, and she starts downloading as many files as she can get off of safe mode. And she copied all the files onto this drive, and I thought, good, okay, we'll just take her laptop, we'll print it off of that, no big deal. But when we plugged the flash drive into her computer, the flash drive was empty. It showed that it had absolutely no files. It was completely blank. And I'm starting to freak out. I mean, I'm supposed to preach this message tomorrow morning, and it's gone. All gone. I have no sermon to share. I don't even have my notes, because all of it was on that computer. And by the time we've done all this, by the time we've run through all these scenarios, it's 11 o'clock at night. I need to get to bed. Mitzi says to me, you need to find yourself a closet and pray. What was I to do? I got down on my knees and I prayed. As I look at this passage, I wonder also, though, what Abraham's reaction was when the Lord called on him and said, take your son, your only son, whom Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I mean, did Abraham have the same reaction I did? Was it one of panic? Was it freaking out? Did he pray as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will? Did Abraham argue in his mind, Lord, you promised me that my descendants would come through this son that you have given me, and now you're asking me to kill him, to offer him up like a lamb to the slaughter? You know, I admit, I can't imagine the struggle that must have been going on in Abraham's mind. I know that the idea alone would put me in agony. I mean, the very idea that I would take my son, my beloved child, and kill him, just the thought of it makes me want to cry. And yet, you have to wonder, do you think Abraham felt betrayed? And remember, Abraham waited patiently for this child. He was promised for many years, he was promised at the age of 75 that this child was coming, and it wasn't until he was 100 that Isaac was given to him. I mean, he waited 100 years, basically, to have a child. And now the Lord is telling Abraham that he's going to have to give up this promised child. I mean, how did he even get to any sleep after having that conversation? And we read in the passage in verse 3, so Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He rose early in the morning. Now see, I can't compare my experience of losing my sermon as being even remotely on the same level as Abraham's, but I do know that I didn't sleep very well that night. So I can't imagine how Abraham arose early. I mean, for me, when I was sitting there at 11 o'clock praying, begging the Lord to reveal to me what I'm supposed to do, all that kept running through my mind was this passage. For whatever reason, Genesis 22 kept running through my mind. Abraham sacrificing his son over and over again. And I'm praying and I'm like, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to look at, I'll do it. So I grab my Bible And as I'm thrumming through the Bible to get to the passage, you know, you thumb through right there, my thumb stops. I open the Bible and it's on Genesis 22. And I read this passage, the same one that we're sharing here this morning, and I realize that God, for whatever reason, wants me to preach about that message tomorrow morning. He wants me to preach about that in Colorado. And I'm scared. He wants me to go to bed and preach on this without having written anything. I have nothing written down, and I have no idea how I'm going to preach this in the morning, particularly without any preparation, without any study. How do you prepare for something like that? How did Abraham prepare for what God was asking him to do? I mean, remember, he rose early. He gets all the stuff, not only for the sacrifice, but for the journey. And then knowing what he has to do, Abraham takes a donkey, two men and his son, and goes where God tells him to go. And for 3 days, they walk. Abraham walks knowing that when he gets there, he's to kill his son. I can't imagine walking every day with that kind of weight resting on my shoulders. I mean, I had to suffer mildly one night. Abraham had to suffer 3 additional nights. 3. And then the time comes. For me, the next morning I woke up, I was very groggy, I was very tired, I was cranky. I got in the shower, got dressed, went to church, I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, I started to sweat, because all I had was my Bible in my hand. I didn't have a sermon. I didn't even have any idea what God was going to ask me to speak about. I was shaky, I was jittery, I was scared, and the situation was becoming very real, because I was going to have to deliver a sermon that I hadn't written yet. And then I think about Abraham again. What must that have been like for him? Because when we read what it says in verse 4, it says, "On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. He saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go up there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they both of them went together." For Abraham, this had to have been getting real. He now actually takes the wood, the very wood that he's going to burn his son's body with, and lays it on him and makes him carry it. His only son. And then, if that isn't difficult enough, his son turns to him and says, and Isaac said to his father, "Abraham, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. That's a very painful question, isn't it? I mean, could you imagine Abraham standing there and his son asks him that? And Abraham's response, it's one of pure trust. It might be easy to say that Abraham's being deceptive here, but so far our evidence doesn't point to that. It points to a man who trusts in the promise that the Lord has given him. I mean, admittedly, up to this point, I've been describing Abraham as one who's scared or untrusting, but that's not what we find in our passage. There's no evidence of that. I'm putting my own thoughts and fears onto Abraham, but there's nothing in this passage that even describes that. Abraham, he's just trusting. Alan P. Ross puts it this way: all Abraham knew was that God planned the future around Isaac, and God wanted him to sacrifice Isaac. He could not reconcile the two, but he would obey anyway. You know, as I think about this, I think about my fear of presenting a sermon that I haven't written, and I'm humbled by the trust of Abraham. I mean, I was blessed that God walked me through that sermon, and no, it was not my best sermon, but it proclaimed Christ. But Abraham and Isaac's presentation of the faith, not just Abraham's, but Isaac's, their proclamation of Christ blows mine out of the water. Verses 9 through 14 tell us, when they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son from me, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now Abraham showed great faith and trust, believing that God would keep his promise. Hebrews 11 puts it this way, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offering will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. But like I said, we see also the faith of Isaac. I mean, Isaac was probably a teen at this point. He had seen his father do many sacrifices, so when they get up there and his father binds him and lays him on the altar on top of the wood, Isaac, he has to know that he is the sacrifice. Yet he utters no sound, no protest. There's just faith. Faith in the God of his father. Where else do we see this? We can see it in Jesus. God the Father sacrifices his Son for the good of all, and the Son obediently does this out of his great love. On the day that I preached this passage to that little church in Colorado, I preached about provision. And I look at the passages that we have shared here during this Lent season, and during this time of this panic over this virus, and I come back to what Abraham says. What he says in the Hebrew, which is Yahweh Yireh, or as we have Anglicized it to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Our God does provide. He provided the way for us through his Son, who lived the life that we couldn't, died the death that we deserve, and rose again from the grave so that we might be with him. Just as the Lord provided the sacrifice for Abraham and Isaac, the Lord provided his Son, Jesus, for each and every one of us. And we know that we can rest and rely upon our God. Just as Abraham relied upon the promises, we know that we can rest in the promises of Christ. We know that our Savior will carry us, that he will be our provision, that Jesus took it all for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you for your provision. Lord, in a world that is fully, always in a world of tumult and change and fear, we know that you have already provided us the way home, that you have provided us the peace that we need. Lord, help us to rest in Jesus. Help us to rest in the sacrifice that he made for us, that you sent for us. Lord, we love you. We trust you. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.